People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. This is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note here on Fine Music Radio. And my guest on People of Note this week is someone who's had an amazingly varied career, not only as a leading public relations person in Cape Town, but also as an integral part of orchestras and music. Shirley de Kock-Gerler is a freelance writer and editor with more than 20 years' experience in public relations and media consulting in South Africa and in Canada. She's published articles on music and travel in particular in both Canada and South Africa, and has worked for the Reader's Digest in both countries and the Encyclopedia of Canadian Music. Shirley has particular expertise in the performing arts, having worked with many orchestras in South Africa, and she is strategic marketing consultant of the Cape Philharmonic Orchestra here in Cape Town. She's also an events manager, having organized choir festivals for more than 2,000 participants and audiences in excess of 5,000. Shirley's written book reviews and also is currently on the boards of the Cape Town Concert Series and the Richard Wagner Society of South Africa, and until quite recently of the Scotia Chamber Players. Shirley, that's quite an introduction, so welcome.
Thank you very much.
But I think I can say you seem to be a master of all, a jack of all trades and a master of a lot of them. But so it must be a very full life you lead.
It's wonderful. And I think it's wonderful because I love so much what I'm doing. So I never stop.
Do you? Because I know one of the things you do, and I mean this to be a compliment, by the way, when you're dealing with the media, sometimes the media gets a bit intimidated. Oh, here comes Shirley.
Oh, good. Because I never knew that.
Exactly. Because you are so determined, aren't you, to get your message across. And there's this passion that I've always admired.
Thank you. But, you know, the terrible thing about me is I really feel that I do know more than certain people, and I won't stop until I get them to listen. They don't have to use what I say, but they have to understand it.
Okay, but Shirley, let's just go back briefly and talk about your whole interest in public relations, because you ran a whole company in Cape Town, didn't you, for a while before you got involved with the orchestra?
I did. I was first in a big company, and then I started my own business. It was just one of those things that developed. I worked for Reader's Digest and then decided to make some changes in my life and started doing some freelance work for this company, continued with them, and so it went. And it was while I was there that we got the Cape Town then Symphony Orchestra, and that I had already been working for Hans Kramer on the concert series as a volunteer, and it was just great. And this just developed and developed and developed.
And so eventually you left your company, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, the company actually split, and then I started my own. And then again life intervened, and Canada called.
Yes, but there's a very good and very romantic reason why Canada called, because one thing I omitted to say in my introduction is that you are married to the conductor Bernard Gueuler, well known and much respected here in Cape Town.
I am, and thank you.
And is that where the Canadian connection came in?
Well, yes, Bernhardt was, he was principal guest conductor of the previous Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra, having been a guest conductor of the symphony for some years. And that, as you know, went under, and he was offered this job in Canada. So it was quite a change, quite an adjustment, because I just thought he would continue to guest conduct. And suddenly we discovered North American orchestras require a presence in the community because their conductors are so much a part of the community. And the conductor's wife becomes a part of the community,
rather like the vicar's wife, actually.
Yes, yes.
In a sense.
But vicar's wives are always nice. I was forthright, and I think the Canadians battled somewhat with me, at least in the beginning.
Don't be horrible about yourself, really. You're highly regarded and respected, and even made terrified of by some people, as I said. But in Canada, let me just, you went to Nova Scotia, didn't you?
We did.
Specifically, which of course is Canadian, isn't it? I used to get confused. It is part of
Canada. Very definitely. And it's on the East Coast, just 2 hours away from New York, hour from Boston. And the good orchestras.
Yes, of course.
I mean, not that Symphony Nova Scotia is not good, it is, but I'm just talking of the world orchestras.
And was it a difficult decision for you then to leave Cape Town, of which you are such an integral part?
Well, it was a heartbreaking decision for me because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know when I was going to come back. And I didn't realize just how much I was going to become a wife. I had never been a wife. I had always been my own person, even with children. And suddenly it was all gone. And I arrived in Halifax, and I was a wife. And yeah, it was a good position to have because the music director is really highly regarded there. But it was quite a shock for me, and I did battle.
and then to skip right to the present. You were there for how long?
15 years.
And now you've actually moved back here.
We have.
With Bernard.
We have. But for me, I came back, especially when I started again with the Cape Town Philharmonic in 2012 or 13. I was coming back all the time anyway, and the last few years I was actually spending 6 months of my year here. And I remember meeting you once, Rodney, and you said, "Oh, nice to see you. How long have you been here?" And I said, 5 minutes. He said, "I didn't even know you'd gone."
You see how potent your presence is here in
and
Cape
how
Town.
Good the internet is.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's an indication of your love and passion for this country and this orchestra and this city,
yeah,
isn't
yeah.
it?
Oh, absolutely.
That you didn't just turn your back on us and go and live in Halifax.
I couldn't, but also in Halifax, I developed an absolute love for Symphony Nova Scotia. We made some great friends there. It's an orchestra with a heart and a soul, and everybody works very hard. So I have been very, very lucky to have two great organizations in my life. And that's not to say Concert Series is not great, because it is. The Wagner Society is great too. The Scotia Chamber Players and the Scotia Festival of Music. Bernhard's going back next year, so I shall definitely be returning then.
And Bernard, your husband, Bernard Gueuler, he will continue to go and conduct there, won't he?
Yes, he's going back for the whole month of November, so he's going to miss the Cape Town Philharmonic November season, which is a pity. Not that he would have conducted, because we've got great conductors, but he won't be here as an audience member.
Yes.
And he's missing some good ones.
It's good to see him in the audiences as well, by the way, here in Cape Town.
Well, he used to come to your talks until he found that people were turning around and saying, "Oh, look who's there."
Dear, taking the limelight away from me. Good heavens.
Well, totally wrong.
Shirley, let's have your first piece of music. As always, with someone involved in the world of music, I'm intrigued to know what you've chosen and why.
Well, I absolutely love The Prayer from Maria Stuarda. We were so fortunate. Bernhard had conducted Elsa Fund and Hierfer here in Cape Town a few years ago, and she invited us to the dress rehearsal, because we've been going to New York for years every Christmas. It was actually quite funny, because our very first Christmas in Halifax, Bernhard was conducting the Nutcracker. Someone came over to me and said, "What are you doing for Christmas?" And I said, "Well, nothing." And she said, "Oh, that's nice." And I thought, well, she'll say what we say in Cape Town, "We'll pop around for a drink on Boxing Day or something." And she said, "That's nice, Christmas in Nova Scotia." So I went right across the room to Bernhard and I said, "We're out of here." And we went to New York almost every Christmas for the next 15 years. So one of these years, we went to Maria Stuarda at the Met, and it was just the most inspiring thing. We always go to the Met. Every year we go to one or two operas, but this was so special. And Joyce DiDonato, she's just tops in my book.
The one and only.
The one and only. And she was also a friend of someone in Bernhard's agency in New York. So, I mean, there were all these so precious moments, and then she sang that.
Let's listen to The Prayer from Maria Stuarda. excerpt from the opera Maria Stuarda by Donizetti, The Prayer, sung by Joyce DiDonato. And the first choice of my guest on People of Note here on Fine Music Radio this week, Shirley de Kock-Gerler, who, as you've heard, is the strategic marketing consultant of the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra and married to the conductor Bernard Gerler. You also were talking about New York and Halifax and all that. You've had your fair share of snow, which must have taken some getting used to after Cape Town.
Well, it did. I think last year the snow was so high, it was there was an ice tunnel, like 6 foot tall, as we had to go from our condo to the shop. It was crazy. But there was one particular storm that had its side benefits. We'd gone down to New York. We had gone to the Merchant of Venice with Pacino.
And Al Pacino?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And we normally would sometimes walk home, sometimes take a taxi. It was never late. We came out, and the snow had begun before we went in, but when we came out, the snow was knee-high. So there were no taxis to be had. We had to walk back to our hotel across Times Square, which was so quiet. It was eerie, because especially in New York in Christmas, it's just crazy. And we walked across. We couldn't find a taxi. We just walked and walked. It took us about 2 hours to do what should have been about a 20-minute walk. And I turned around to Bernhard at one stage. He was trudging behind me to say, "You're lucky you're wearing glasses. You're not getting the snow in your eyes." Well, it was a joke, because his glasses were encrusted with snow.
Yes.
Anyway, the benefit to that was that we managed to get in another few shows. So we saw Laura Linney. But, you know, we have been so lucky. So the people that we've seen Daniel Craig, Bill Nighy, Julianne Moore, Glenn Close, John Lithgow. I once in London on my way through, Maggie Smith.
My goodness.
Yeah, I know. Cause
are you name dropping?
I am name dropping.
Shamelessly.
I am. Shocking.
Yeah, yeah.
Shocking.
But this snowstorm then, is that so you couldn't actually leave New York in a sense?
We were there for an extra 2 or 3 days, and the hotel was really decent. They didn't put up the prices as they could have, but that, I suppose, was people weren't coming in. They couldn't get out, so they were just happy to have somebody there.
Exactly.
It was amazing.
But then talking about that snow in New York, the sort of snow we don't know about here in South Africa, Halifax, also Canada. I mean, Canada must be, if anything, worse, am I right, than New York?
No, it's about,
temperature-wise?
It's about the same as New York. It gets a bit colder there, being a smaller city and much more on the water than New York, of course, is. A lot of it goes inland. But I think the worst we've had there is minus 25, and then you add the wind chill, and it gets quite cold, and the snow is wet. So, you know, fortunately, we lived in a condo, which meant you go from your warm condo to your basement parking, your warm car, you get to where you're going, and hopefully you've got basement parking there when you get out. It's only when you walk to the shops. But for people who actually live there, they are shoveling all the time, and it's wet snow, so it's two-handed shoveling.
Because it's heavy.
It's heavy.
Very, very heavy.
Yeah, unlike Edmonton, where it gets to minus 40, but it's light snow. So, I mean, musicians we know there, they just laugh and say, one-handed shoveling, flick it up.
But does it affect snow falls like that? Does it affect the concert series?
Oh, totally, because there have been a couple where there are often power outages. Because, like Cape Town, is built on granite, there are overhead power wires, so the snow falls on them from the trees, and the power's out. So, I mean, the power can be out for, in our case, last year, 4 days.
Good grief.
So, really? Which can be a problem. Bernhard was there before I got there when they had white wine, which was a hurricane. That took the power out for, I think, more than a week. But it was summer. But in winter, it's a different thing, and you have no aircon and no central heating, and it is a different story. It really is a different story.
Cape Town must be positively luxurious.
It is. But we don't have to cancel concerts here. There they canceled them. You know, the musicians in their contract, it says they will not play if it's below a certain degree. And that's not because it's cold for them, which of course it is. Mm. It's bad for the instruments.
Exactly.
Last week in Halifax, this past weekend, in fact, they canceled a concert there because there was sudden rain and the moisture had risen. So it was an outdoor concert. They couldn't do it. Mm. It's really hazardous living there.
Exactly. And so those people must be very hardy, those Canadians that live there.
Well, I admire them. You know, you're sort of walking along the pavement or the sidewalk, as they call it, and suddenly you get a beep, beep, and there's a person who looks about 95 but is actually only 60 on a motorized scooter, because with universal medical coverage, you get these motorized scooters, and everybody goes around on those. Sometimes the oxygen bottles are attached to them. They are a hardy people. And, you know, I think bringing up children there must be awful, because you have to dress them undress them in the car, dress them to get out of the car, undress them when they get to be, but they're used to it. Weather does not put them off. Mm. I really take my hat off to them.
Unlike, well, we in Cape Town are too easily put off.
Oh, yeah.
We have a bad rainstorm or cold, and the theatres and concert halls are empty.
I know.
Isn't that a pity?
It's crazy. But
and the actual orchestra, you know, American orchestras have had all sorts of problems. I think even this Minnesota orchestra that's coming out to see us, they at one stage had lockouts and all sorts
they
of
did.
Things.
They did.
Was the Nova
really
Scotia orchestra in good nick?
You know, it's very well managed. And Canadians are amazingly generous, and I think that Nova Scotians are amongst the most generous people. So not only they have a very good development team there, and they go out and they see corporates and government, and there's also a matching grant that the government gives. You know, just before we left, there was a big fundraising dinner as a farewell for Bernhardt, at which they were raising funds for conducting fellowship in his name. They got $50,000, which will be doubled in a matching grant, which is amazingly generous. And also you get tax relief if you give to the arts. So it makes it easier for people to give, and they do give. So that orchestra is well managed, but they have to worry all the time, like us here. We are just not in the wonderful position of getting a lot from government. And those are the big differences between the two.
Well, let's go to your next piece of music. But you spoke about the Met while you were in New York, but you sort of have been hinting that there are other interesting things that happened there as well, which they must have been, Shirley.
Well, one of the really funny things was going to hear Simon Rattle. He was doing Peleus. And he is used, I should imagine, to quite well-behaved European audiences.
Especially in Berlin.
Yeah. Well, at the Met, and one night I did it, I don't know how my mind wandered from the music, but it did. I counted the coughs, and there was one cough a second. And he was about to start, I think, the second act, and he had his hands raised, ready to strike. He started laughing. You could actually see him shake as it went cough for cough.
Good for grief.
Yeah,
but did he stop or did he keep going?
No, he waited. No, he hadn't started yet. He was waiting for a break in the coughs to start. And then he finally said, oh, what the hell, and did it.
You know, there's that lovely story of John Vickers, the Wagnerian tenor, singing in Tristan or maybe even Parsifal. And there were lots of coughing. And in the middle of an aria, he said, will you stop that damn coughing, shouted at the audience, and then carried on without missing a beat.
Well, good for them, but yes. Anton Curti, who's a really fine Canadian pianist, he was doing the cycle of Beethoven concerti with Symphony Nova Scotia, and he got so irritated, he stopped in the middle. He put his hand in his elbow, and he said, this is how you cough, and then he went back.
Shame. It's so distressing and distracting when that happens. But Berlin certainly has a much more disciplined audience,
yes.
I should say.
Yes.
But now you've got, before we play your next piece of music, which is the Tristan Prelude, the Love, Death of the Tristan, what is the reason you've chosen this?
I just love it. I just think the music is so wonderful. I've heard it live twice, once in Bayreuth and once in Berlin at a dress rehearsal with Abado and with Ben Heppner, the Canadian tenor. And it was just, it's just beautiful music. It's the kind that brings me to tears.
Well, that has to be one of the most extraordinary and beautiful and moving pieces of music. Isolde's Liebestod at the end of the Tristan and Isolde, in that version there with just the orchestra, concert version. And there we heard the Berlin Philharmonic, conducted by Herbert von Karajan. It was another choice of my guest on People of Note this week here on Fine Music Radio, Shirley de Kock, Gerler, who is in fact the strategic marketing consultant of the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra here in Cape Town. Shirley, just before we get back to your travels, what does that title mean? It's quite a posh title, strategic marketing consultant.
I think we leave it at posh.
Okay, well.
No, the idea seriously is to try and plan ahead, to see what we can do, but there is just so little time in the day.
Really?
Yeah,
we really do a lot
of that. Yeah, but in the short term, what we're trying to do is raise awareness for fundraising and fill the halls, and we, on the whole, are pretty happy with the halls, but we need funds.
Mm. And it's a permanent problem, isn't it?
Yes.
The orchestra and you have to battle for money day in and day out.
Yes.
To keep
we have a fundraiser, and she has a really hard job because today reporting to fundraisers is what takes so much of the time. Again, just to go back to Canada for a minute, they have a development team and they actually write all these proposals and reports. And it's a big, big job. You have to nurture people. You have to care about them. Mm-hmm. And you have to give them what they want. And the audience evaluation is another way that something that we need to do. And that's really hard to do because we're trying to grow the audience in terms of youth. And that is working. Just a visual count on the City Hall stage shows you how many young people are coming. And that's really important. Mm. We've tried to up our social media presence.
Right.
And, I think we're known by many more people, but whether they come or not is come again.
Yeah,
young people
thing.
Today, they don't. They've been to the concert. That's fine. I'll come again in 6 months. We want them to come next week and the week after that.
And the trick is, isn't it, Shirley, not dumbing down in any way.
Totally not.
Not having the orchestra dress in jeans, but to present classical music as it is.
Yeah.
The orchestra has lots of young people in it, young, good-looking people. And what is the point of dumbing down? Because that's not the real thing.
No. We want people to appreciate what you get out of this kind of music. Yes. It doesn't have to come from the 17th, 18th, 19th centuries. There's really good modern stuff today as well. Mm. We listened to some Arnold van Wyk with the Friends of Orchestral Music Soiree. Wonderful music. Yeah.
But even having said that,
yes,
if you're listening to Bach or Beethoven or Brahms or Dvorak or Sibelius, it is somehow relevant today, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like all art. It's relevant. It's not 200 years old.
No, it's not. There's something about music that just lifts you. Once Bernhardt was conducting in Stuttgart, and there was a woman 2 rows in front of me who was Bruckner 9. She sobbed her whole way through to the point that I actually wanted to go and comfort her. But she didn't want consolation. She was just so moved by the music. She was a woman in her 20s. It is relevant. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, I always remember saying it would be like going to a pop concert and expecting to see the band on stage dressed in dinner jacket.
Exactly.
And the audience in dinner suits.
Yeah.
It would be a ludicrous thing. You've got to go and enjoy what is on offer. And apart from the lovely way people dress, and isn't it nice when people do dress up, although you don't have
to. Sometimes I would like them to dress up more. I'm the wrong one to point fingers because I'm happy in jeans and a T-shirt.
And I think, and surely you've gone out of your way to say, haven't you, that people are welcome at the concerts in jeans and a T-shirt.
Absolutely.
You can go anything from jeans and a T-shirt to a dinner jacket.
Just pay attention to the music. Don't kiss your girlfriend.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, very well. But, Shirley, one of the things I didn't mention in the introduction, I was talking about the various boards you're on, like the Concert Series Board and also the Wagner Board, which I'll come to. You have been involved with the South African National Youth Orchestra. I know you're not officially on the board, but for one thing, and this takes us back to Berlin, you went to Germany with them, didn't you?
I did.
And actually went to that magnificent hall, the Philharmonie.
We did, but before that, there was a festival in Bonn. And the orchestra played there, and it was just so terrific. And then we went up to Berlin, and the poor orchestra had to leave. Bernhard had a job then in Nuremberg, and in those days I traveled more with him than I do now. And they had to leave to fly home, and I went to a rehearsal of Mahler 2 with Rattle and his wife Madeleine Koschena and the Dutch radio choir.
That's right.
It was fantastic.
That's right.
Absolutely fantastic.
Well, I can at least boast that I heard the live performance
of
that.
Oh, you did?
Yes,
that
was the Rattle one with his wife.
Right.
And We're going to talk about Mahler II quite soon, because that's the big thing that's going to happen here this week. But for the National Youth Orchestra, just them together, it must have been an amazing experience. Did they go down well in Berlin? Brandon was conducting, wasn't he?
No. It was Conrad von Alphen was conducting them, but in Berlin, they did a concert with Herbert Blomstedt.
Oh, my goodness.
It was all so well arranged, and it was such an experience. It was sort of a workshopping thing with him in the Philharmonie. I mean, South African musicians playing there. It was amazing.
It is really a kind of a great hall.
It is.
A mecca for music, isn't it, ever since the Karajan days?
And you know what I like about the youth orchestra is these kids infiltrate everywhere, and in our orchestra today we have Daniel Przeski and Carolyn, who was then Fin Rian, and they were both in that orchestra then, and they're now our principals.
Yeah, that just shows, actually. Yeah. And the Cape Town Youth Orchestra, the Cape Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, that also is a form of a feeding into the orchestra, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, it's a long process. People seem to think, well, okay, so you've taught him the violin, why isn't he sitting in the orchestra? It's not that easy. First of all, we don't have budget to enlarge the orchestra all the time. We do have many of them as extra musicians, but Dane Kutsia, who is our secondist cellist, he got a job there. He's the first youth orchestra member to actually graduate, and that's really exciting.
Gosh.
And that's where we want to be more and more.
Mm. And this also will bring more young people to the audience to see their friends playing the orchestra or the youth. That's why I think it's always so great when you use the youth orchestra as a curtain raiser,
which we
for
are
the big concerts.
For the Mahler too.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes, we're going to have them. Brandon will conduct, Brandon Phillips, and he, of course, is his own man. I mean, he's charismatic. He's just wonderful. And he will conduct the Shostakovich Festive Overture.
Well, let's go back. We were talking about Mahler and Wagner. Let's go back now to Bruckner and your lovely story, because I think you've asked us to play you a reminder of that Bruckner 9, where that lady ended up in tears.
Yes. Well, it was just prior to that. We had gone to St. Florian in Austria, which was where Bruckner had worked. And, you know, everything reminds you of Bruckner. They even have a Bruckner meal, all these big sausages and dumplings and things. But we had gone into it wasn't our first time there, so we knew what we were going to do. And we got there, and it was a whatever day it was, closed. But there were people there, and we asked. We just said, you know, Bernhard gets very embarrassed with me sometimes, and I just said, he's going to conduct us in Stuttgart next week. Can we go and into the crypt? And, you know, they opened the crypt up for us. Now, we'd been there before, but to be there on your own in this atmospheric...
Well, silent.
Yeah, with a black cat wandering around. Was just... incredible.
That's an amazing story. Yeah. Bruckner's actual crypt.
Yeah. But Bruckner, he was right there.
My goodness.
Yeah, right underneath the organ that he played.
Now, we're going to listen to an excerpt from Bruckner 9, which has it's an unfinished work, three very long movements. So we're going to have to be very clever now, Shirley. This is the trick and the challenge of people of note, because I hate fading classical music. But we have to reflect the guest's taste,
of course, of course.
And also to be able to accommodate it. So,
but hopefully people will go home and listen to the whole symphony.
So here then, an excerpt.
Right.
sadly there we fade that glorious music, the Symphony No. 9 by Anton Bruckner. And it was the choice of my guest, Shirley de Kock-Gerler, who, as I've been telling you, is strategic marketing consultant of the Cape Town Philharmonic. But Shirley, you have, as I said earlier, a finger in a number of pies, especially these boards like the concert series at the Baxter, mm-hmm. the Richard Wagner Society, and these are integral parts of Cape Town's music life, aren't mm-hmm. they? That concert series is invaluable in presenting high-quality chamber music mm-hmm. to Capetonians. Am I right?
Absolutely. There's always a link between them and the Cape Town Philharmonic, so if they can, they'll present the same artist. But sometimes they can't. For instance, next month in August, they've got Alessandra Taverna, who was going to play with Cape Town Philharmonic, but really changed the dates to accommodate the opening of the City Hall on August the 4th, he couldn't make it. So, I mean, it's probably a good thing because we couldn't really have a Chopin along with the Mahler. No. However, he will play at concert series, and he's very high level. They have absolutely stunning artists. You know, of course, that Wolfish is coming.
Yes, Raphael
at the end
Wolfish,
of the year, both to concert series and the Cape Town Philharmonic. So that's the kind of thing they do. And Louise Harlett, who runs it, she does an amazing job of keeping on top of things, and also she has a finger on the so-called rising star pulse of young South African musicians. So she's put on some really interesting programs with young people.
And you get generally a good audience there because
we
it's
do.
A sophisticated
we
audience
do. We do.
Without making it sound exclusive.
No.
But it is certainly, it encourages you to listen to proper, full-on chamber music.
And it's very relaxed. She always talks from the stage. Mm. People like it. There's a glass of wine usually afterwards, which very available, so it's a lovely atmosphere.
And Shirley, what about, well, this is easy for me to talk about as well, the Richard Wagner Society of South Africa, because you know what a fan I am of Wagner, but with Herbert Gluckner as current president, this is another organization which doesn't only sit and listen to Wagner. In fact, I think they seldom listen to Wagner
well, they can't.
At their meetings. It's
That's
all
true.
To do with the youth again and with the visiting artists.
Well, not so much visiting artists. We occasionally do put on a visiting artist, but there's no budget for that. What we try and do is we try and support young people, young South Africans, wanting to do something, go overseas, and then in part payment, they'll come back and do a recital. And for instance, in November, we will be having Hlengiwe Makonazi playing, and probably Rian Hunter, but Rian is on his way overseas to sing in a competition, and who knows, maybe he does so well he's gone forever. But you know, these guys don't go forever, they all come back.
I've noticed
you
that.
Saw with Passion for Opera,
yes.
They all came back to pay their respects to Angela.
And that was, what a wonderful evening that was.
It
for
was, wasn't
Angela.
It? Yeah.
But the other thing is, that I think is important, and very much to the credit of the Richard Wagner Society, is that they have in fact put on operas,
yes.
even a Wagner
oh, yes.
opera. They did
oh,
a
yes.
memorable Flying Dutchman,
yes.
one of the best I've seen for a
I
while.
I can still see Craig Lear's Red Sails. Do you remember?
Yes.
It was stunning. The singing was such a high level. Mm. Kamal conducted. It was really superb. It's memorable. People still talk about that.
Absolutely. One of the best I've seen in Cape Town.
Yeah.
The Flying Dutchman. But also, interestingly, they've done some kind of almost chamber Italian operas, for example.
That was Herbert's bag. He just loved all the La Scala di Seta.
Yes.
But
Viva
the last
la Mama.
One, that was the last one, and that we did a couple of years ago. And that was amazing because, again, young singers, and they all just bought into it. It was such a lighthearted, delicious opera. And we need to do another one, but money's money.
Money's money, indeed.
Yeah.
Do you think that these societies, I mean, I hinted at, they're very into the chamber music one, the Richard Wagner one. Are you always looking for people to join the societies and to...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
You know, there is a membership fee for the Wagner Society.
But it's very low.
It's very low. I think it's 250 or something. And you just get invitations to things. You know, you don't get you get a slightly cheaper price to come to those soirees. That we have them at Herbert's home. Herbertheim. And it's they're just lovely. People like coming. They like having a glass of wine. And they turn into very pleasant things. We feel if we move to another venue, not only will it cost more because we'd have to pay a hiring fee, we'd lose the intimacy that comes from this house concert.
It's a real house concert in the German. The sort of thing Schubert would have attended and performed at.
Absolutely, yeah. And we don't want Herbert ever to give up his flat. He's got to come back soon because he's in Berlin as we speak.
Yes.
Or Montenegro or something.
Well, and or Bayreuth.
Or Bayreuth.
Because
he's on his way there now.
One of the advantages of belonging to the Richard Wagner Society is that you stand a chance to get tickets to Bayreuth, which are as rare as hen's teeth.
Yeah, and now you do get them. There was a time when they actually stopped offering them to the Wagner Societies because there was an outcry in Bavaria when ordinary people had to stay 10 years on the waiting list to get them. Now we've got them again. So yes, they are South Africans.
And you've been to Bayreuth, haven't you?
I have. It's, again, another amazing experience in my life. Although there was the experience that I remember most was bats in the room. We left the window open and didn't realize that there were so many bats around in Bayreuth, and they all flew into this dark cave. So we came back from this opera after a few drinks at 1 o'clock in the morning to find all these bats there.
Oh, my
It was different.
It's a bit scary. But you love traveling, don't you? That's the other big side of you. If you read about you on the internet, you go on and on and on about how important travel is. Writing and all
and
that.
I'm not so sure that I'm going to be doing that much more traveling anymore, which is quite heartbreaking because there are many things I want to do. Iceland, for one. So I'm hoping when I go back to Canada next year, I'll sort of take a side trip to Iceland.
Yes. I mean, it's sort of en route almost.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, you make it sound sad. Okay, you said sad. But with a conductor as a husband who gets invited to places, you still get an opportunity, don't you, to go around.
You know, I traveled with him when work wasn't that large again in my life. It is again. So I don't have the time. And although I can work on the internet more, I won't do it quite as much.
Okay.
And we have to see, you know, where he goes. His agent in Germany died. And we have to see what happens. He's going to Edmonton in January.
Okay.
And back to Simply Nova Scotia twice again, you know. So I won't go with him all the time.
In the meantime, we have him here for the whole of the winter season coming up.
We do.
But we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's just have a quick break. Mm. And I see you've got Plea for Africa, that glorious hymn-like song.
It is, and that became very meaningful to me when I was doing choir festivals for the for Caltex and for Odemeester. Just hearing 2,000 voices sing something like that was really moving.
Oh,
that beautiful hymn, Plea for Africa, by John Knox Bokwe, and a choice, again, of my guest on People of Note, Shirley de Kock-Gerler. Shirley, we're nearing the end of our time, and we haven't spoken about the big event this week, which on Saturday night, this coming Saturday, is Mahler's Resurrection Symphony, the huge symphony number 2, opening the refurbished City Hall. And by all accounts, it's going to be quite an occasion. Are you nervous?
I think we're nervous because we've not been able to get into the hall as we speak. And the seating has changed, and we know that a few people have been upset because they haven't had the same seats. They might be the same seats, just in a slightly different place, but we just don't know.
Okay.
So, yes, I'm very apprehensive. I'm sort of thinking of developing a headache.
Oh, no. No, you have to be there, Shirley.
I'll be there.
Because, let's face it, it's a huge work. It requires a vastly augmented orchestra, which Lou Hayden.
I think we're up to 80.
Are we up to 80? And then there's a very large choir. I think there are 4 choirs taking part.
There are 3 choirs and there are 100 people.
Gosh. 100,
and we went to listen to them the other night. Powerful.
And 2 soloists, a contralto and a soprano.
And an organist.
An organist and an offstage band.
Well, actually 2, because and one, Mahler's instruction for one of them was, play far away but loud.
Yes.
Do not play close and soft.
Yes.
So there are 2 of those. And Alan Stevenson's conducting those.
Okay. It's going to be an extraordinary evening. We're not broadcasting it live because our booth is not ready yet. But we're going to record it so people can then hear it.
The following week.
The following Thursday night.
Yeah.
And it's been full for weeks, hasn't it? Have you still got any seats left for the dress rehearsal?
Yes, there's some seats for the dress rehearsal. But there may be 1 or 2 for the main work if people hand them back. But I very much doubt it. So dress rehearsal's about the only option.
It's an amazing way to open a refurbished City Hall and to open
just
a season.
Inspired.
An inspired choice.
Yeah.
And that is one of my Desert Island pieces anyway.
Really?
As I said to you, I heard it in Berlin.
Yes.
So as we come to the end now, Shirley, thank you for chatting to us. Keep up your good work,
the indefatigable
Shirley. I wanted to fit that word in somewhere. Because I've known you since the 1990s when I was at the SABC.
You were.
And you used to phone me and say, Rodney, this is a national radio station. I'm sick and tired of hearing all about Johannesburg.
Right, absolutely right.
You remember,
right.
You used to reprimand me.
Absolutely.
And you used to
was
get,
I wrong?
No, you were absolutely right. And you used to get telephone interviews with me.
Well, I remember phoning you from the Canary Islands when the orchestra was in that music festival there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I remember standing in the corner sort of talking on my cell phone.
So
thank you for doing that, Rodney.
We can't be without you. So all strength to your arm and let our orchestra go from strength to strength. And
Absolutely.
It's great to know that you and Bernard Gerler are back in town.
It's
and that
nice.
Bernard is going to be here to conduct the whole of this coming season because, as you know, he's highly respected. The orchestra has a huge regard for him and so does the audience.
That's wonderful.
Now, what we're going to end with, I don't know how much of this we can take, but you're suggesting Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto.
We had in Halifax a couple of times a Canadian called James Ennis, who is one of the big names in the world today, and I would really like to think we could get him to Cape Town. And he played this when he was there.
Okay, it's just going to be a snatch.
Sure.
Let's see what happens. Shirley de Kock-Gerler, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rodney. Thank you.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
This December, something extraordinary is coming to Cape Town. Experience the global phenomenon Matilda the Musical, inspired by the magic of Roald Dahl, live on stage at Artscape. The New York Post says, believe the hype. Don't miss the musical of the decade, proudly brought to you by Peter Turin and GWB Entertainment in association with the Royal Shakespeare Company. Be a genius. Book now.